It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Pass time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Mann.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk and Lance Mann with you. And, of course, we're talking New York Giants and Minnesota Vikings coming your way on Monday night. Giants trying to get their first win of the year. Vikings only have one win in the loss column. I'm sure ESPN wasn't counting on a combined 1-10 record for this Monday night contest, but that's where we're at, and the Giants, Lance, should have a pretty good chance to get their first win of the season. Playing really for the first time this year, a team that is struggling with their quarterback situation. Josh Freeman will get the start. He's only been there a little over a week, and the Vikings, frankly, have a lot of holes on their roster, and the Giants are the more talented team in this game. And barring catastrophic mistakes, which unfortunately they have made this year, they should be in pretty good shape to win the game.
Vikings secondary is very young. It's banged up. They're going to be without Harrison Smith, their top safety, who was their first-round pick from a few years ago out of Notre Dame. So that is certainly a benefit for the Giants.
He's been ruled out of the game?
He has. However, they've had an advantage before, John. If you go back to the Carolina Panthers game, banged up secondary, a lot of injuries. The Giants couldn't take full advantage of that. They go up against Kansas City, no Brandon Flowers. So I'm shying away from saying on paper this game plays right into the Giants' hands because they have had some favorable matchups before. The key is, on their side of things, get rid of the mental mistakes. Play a complete game. That's got to be the number one goal. And the other key is Eli Manning getting back on track. They need something from a momentum standpoint to build off of. Right now, there's nothing that you could look at over these first six games that you could say, you know what, the Giants did this right, the Giants did that right. There was a flash here or there. I think they got the running game going. The offensive line has played better, but it's come in bits and pieces. They're still looking for that one quarter through fourth quarter performance where they could hang their hat on and say, hey, this is something solid that we could take with us the rest of the way.
No doubt about it. And look, you have to avoid the mistakes, and that's really where everything starts for the Giants this week. You can't make the same type of errors you've made in weeks past. And if they don't make mistakes in this game, they're the better team. They should be able to win the football game. And it's really that simple. I don't think there's really anything more you can talk about than that. The Vikings have a lot of issues on defense. They're the 31st ranked defense in the league in terms of yards. They're worst in terms of points. The Giants should be able to do some damage through the air. As long as they can protect their quarterback, they have two good defensive ends that can get after the quarterback a little bit. The Giants will have to be aware of that. But they just don't have a ton of talent. They're a rebuilding team in a rebuilding mode. And this is a matchup the Giants have to finally take advantage of and stop shooting themselves in the foot.
Especially as you mentioned, John, you're talking about Josh Freeman. He's no rookie. He's an experienced quarterback, but he's barely had a week to actually learn this offense. And this is going to be an opportunity for him to get thrown right into the mix. The playbook is not expanding with him in it. They're trying to simplify things. So, you know, this could be a game. Maybe the Giants get their pass rush going. Maybe they could catch Josh Freeman off guard. Maybe they could catch this offensive line off guard. 5 sacks in 6 games. Justin Tuck was even asked about this during the course of the week, and everybody's still looking for answers. They're all scratching their heads. Everyone is struggling across the board. Does that mean it's a scheme? Does that mean it's an individual thing? You know, we're talking about it week in and week out. At what point do you say, when are these guys going to just arguably win their individual battles and beat the guys opposite them? We can't sit here every week and say, well, Perryfield needs to tweak this, Perryfield needs to tweak that. These are professionals. They get paid a lot of money. It's time to deliver.
And we met Peyton Hillis for the first time yesterday, the media speaking to him in the locker room. Bigger guy, very excited to be here. You can tell he's been humbled a little bit by the fact that he hasn't played in a couple of seasons. And when the move first went down, it didn't click with me that being in Tampa, he's pretty familiar with the Giants' terminology and their system. So he should be able to fit in rather quickly, but I would still expect Brandon Jacobs to get the majority of the carries in this game.
It's a similar circumstance to like John Connor. You got to move him along very slowly. I would say Brandon Jacobs, as long as his hamstring can hold up, John, he's probably going to take the bulk of the carries. Maybe they'll throw Peyton Hillis in on some first and second downs. Plus, you would assume Michael Cox is going to get some reps in a game like this. Maybe not necessarily on a third down, but they're going to have to work him in, I would assume, as a change of pace back, assuming that the game falls right into the hands of the Giants.
No doubt about it, and I wonder if they trust Michael Cox to step in there and do it. He hasn't been asked to do it the last 2 weeks when the Giants have been in even dire straits, more dire straits in terms of the running back situation. So we'll see what they can do. Brandon Jacobs' hamstring appears to be okay, but I do worry about him reacting off of his first 20-carry game since 2009. So you wonder how his body's going to hold up for two straight weeks.
But I think at this point, you got to go with him because
he's
your guy. You know, I mean, he's provided the best spark in terms of the running game, regardless of whether or not you don't think that he's going to be able to carry 20 times this game or he's not going to be able to do that the rest of the way. I would say he's been the one positive. So you go with him, and then you work in the Hillises and the Coxes of the world so that hopefully you don't wear him down too much. They've got limited options at this point in the backfield.
Let's go to the phones at 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat. Steve is in Washington, D.C. Steve, what's going on, Pally?
Hey, what's happening, man? I've been calling early just to hear you guys today. I don't have an active phone there, but anyway.
Hey, Steve. Yeah. Your phone connection's very bad here. Are you on speakerphone or something like that? I can barely hear you.
No. Is this a little better?
That's much better, yes.
Okay, cool. Listen, guys, I wondered if we could let's just try to dabble into the psychology of the team, you know, because I think that's going to be a major, you know, influence on moving forward with not only this game but the rest of the season, especially if we lose this game by chance. So, first of all, I kind of think that Tom Coughlin's is more of a genius today than I ever did. You know, as you guys may remember, you know, I was a little bit baffled as to why we brought, you know, Peyton Hillis in here at this point in the season, but you know, it really kind of dawned on me when I seen how quickly, Brandon Jacobs got healthy and ready to go and his attitude changed. And I think, you know, I know we'll really never know to the magnitude of what kind of influence, you know, money plays and, you know, and how much motivated people are as far as wanting to be on a team. But he knows what it means to be a Giant. And I think, you know, having somebody behind him to push him, I think we can expect to see really to get all of the best of Brandon Jacobs moving forward. And, I just hope that, you know, we use Cox. And I'm just, you know, always kind of come back to it. Do you guys think that Cox is just kind of like a diamond in the rough? It's possible that maybe we just don't really want people to know how good he is at this point. Do you know how long of a contract he's under right now?
Well, there's no reason to think the Giants are trying to hide him. If they were trying to hide him, they would have tried to put him on the practice squad already. The fact that he's on the active roster tells me that they like him, and they think he can contribute. Now, he's been good as a gunner, but you haven't used him on kickoff returns where you used him in the preseason, and you don't trust him at running back. Quite frankly, I'm surprised they haven't asked him to do more. I mean, you can keep it simple for him, not ask him to pass protect, things like that, give him a chance to make some plays with the ball in his hands, but this team really hasn't given him the opportunity. They must not think he's ready, but no, I don't think they're trying to hide him. I just don't think they believe he's ready to carry that type of load.
That's hard to believe that, you know, they think Peyton Hillis is ready to come in and play, but, you know, Michael Cox has been here, you know, for months,
it
is now
crazy.
Ready to take a few snaps.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That really bothers me. I we need to address that, whatever the reason for that is, because there's too many players, you know, young players not getting the opportunity to get on the field, and, you know, it's just a shame. But, guys, I'm going to miss you today. I'll have to check in later on you. But great show, and have a good weekend. And I think we will definitely walk away with a W this Monday. So I'll be looking forward to that game. Have a good one, guys. Thanks.
You got it. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201 939-4513. And I think it comes down to pass protection. I mean, that's the big reason why they have held Michael Cox back. It is hard to believe that a guy who has been here since training camp and has been drafted can't get an opportunity ahead of Peyton Hillis, but Peyton Hillis has been asked to pass protect during the course of his NFL career. That's not something that you forget, even though you've been out of the league. Michael Cox, dating back to his collegiate career, has not been asked to be in positions where he has to serve as that sixth offensive lineman. And when you're in this Giants offensive system, you need to pass protect. That's priority number one. Before they can even toy with the idea of throwing you out in the flat and running a screen play or running up the gut, you have to be able to handle the blitz. And that's, to me, what is holding Michael Cox back. However, they've gotten to the point due to injuries where they have no choice, and it's going to be baptism by fire. And when you're 0-6, it can't hurt giving a youngster an opportunity, especially since Brandon Jacobs doesn't have the greatest track record recently in terms of going consecutive games, handling the ball 20 carries. So this is going to be perhaps an opportunity. Even if he gets 3 or 4 reps, Michael Cox will have a chance to showcase what type of talent he has. He has shown some flashes during training camp, but he hasn't had an opportunity to build off of that.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Fox down in Dallas. Fox, what's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, bud?
I'm sorry to keep talking about the running game. I know it's the name of the game.
No worries.
Want to know if you guys think that Jacobs will reproduce what he did on Thursday. Some people tend to think that, you know, it was a once-in-a-lifetime thing, or at least for this season. Others think that he'll carry the momentum into the Vikings game.
Well, I think the bigger Fox, I didn't mean to cut you off. I think the bigger question to ask is, can the offensive line reproduce its performance? Because as impressive as Brandon Jacobs was, Fox, it really came down to the holes being opened by the offensive line. So that, I would think, is the bigger question, more so than what Jacobs could bring to the table.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, when I talk about the Giants, it kills me this season, because that Bears game, it feels like we did everything right and we had all the pieces in place, and we still can't get that W out.
Well, that's what it takes. It takes a team effort. And the bottom line is, sometimes things click on one angle and they don't click on the other angle. And there have been other games that the Giants could have easily won because they've been very much in the thick of things. But a mental lapse here and there, a turnover here and there has held them back, and that's unfortunately why they're staring at 0-6 right now. But I think there's a golden opportunity on Monday if they get the running game going. Eli Manning protects the football. You know, when was the last game that the Giants actually did turn the ball over 3 times? They've gone multiple games in a row where they've coughed it up 3 times. That's a gift. The last thing you want to do is give Minnesota favorable field position, especially with a new quarterback under center. Adrian Peterson is their running back. They've got weapons, but you got to make them earn it. You can't give it to them.
Absolutely. I've read speculation. So when we talk about Eli, I've read speculation that him being known as the fourth quarter comeback kid, he puts pressure on himself, and we cut to the late interceptions and the final minutes and Bears game, perfect example, where he just can't be Eli anymore. I mean, is there any validity to that, him putting pressure on himself, or is the team not doing its job? What are we talking here?
Well, it's been brought up that he's been trying to press the envelope at times to make up for some of the shortcomings of this team. And, Fox, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. I don't know if it's a matter of him, from a mental perspective, putting too much on his shoulders. I think during the fourth quarter, you could say, he looks at the situation and he says, you know what, I got to make a play downfield. But during the course of the game, I'm not necessarily seeing that. At times, you could point to certain situations, but over the course of his entire resume right now, I wouldn't look at a situation, John, where you could say, wow, Manning is really trying to do everything himself, and he's not allowing others to make plays.
Well, I think here's the problem you run into, and we're going to get into, you know, some general statistical theory here. But the general thing is that Eli Manning's been pressing his luck way too much. And if you go back to even the Giants' Super Bowl season in 2011, the Giants that year relied on a ton of fourth-quarter comebacks for Eli Manning to work his magic to bring the Giants back and win football games. And for 2011, it worked. He was extremely good at it. Whenever they needed him to deliver, he delivered. It was kind of amazing how he did it, but he did an excellent job. Give him credit. Well done, Eli Manning. Last year, you saw some issues crop up. Not half as good in the fourth quarter. In 2011, Eli Manning had some of the best fourth quarter numbers you will ever see from any quarterback in history. He regressed to the mean as statisticians will say, in 2012, and the Giants won fewer games, and they didn't make it to the playoffs. This year, they've been going down even more. Their defense has struggled. Turnovers earlier, have early in games, have put them behind. And he's had to try to do an awful lot on his own to try to bring the team back. Now, them going behind is partly Eli's doing because he struggled so much with turnovers. I get that. But if you continue to put yourself into these situations where you have to rely on your quarterback to score with 2 minutes, to score with 3 minutes, to come back from two scores down in the fourth quarter, eventually it's going to catch up with you. And I think that's what we've seen last year and even more so this year with Eli Manning.
The one difference, though, that I'll point out, John, with 2011 compared to now, at least wide receivers were making plays for him. And I'm not trying to point to an excuse to understand why Eli Manning is struggling, but Victor Cruz was making plays. He'd get the short pass, and he would cut through two defenders. Akeem Nicks would make key plays during that 2011 campaign. You haven't seen that. You know, other than Victor Cruz, what other wide receiver has stepped up to go to the ball?
No,
be aggressive.
Right. Hey, look, I'm not putting it all on Eli Manning either, because in 2011, in order to make those types of crazy comebacks, everything has to fall into place, not just the quarterback. The receivers have to make plays. You got to make a couple moves, make somebody miss, run for a touchdown. Remember the game against the Jets? Eli Manning threw a simple 12-yard out to Victor Cruz from the one-yard line. What does Victor Cruz do? Makes two guys miss, runs 80 yards for a touchdown. Eli Manning throws a prayer chuck to Akeem Nicks at the end of the first half against the Green Bay Packers. Nicks happens to make a play and come down with the ball. So it's not just Eli Manning, folks. It's everything. But the point being, when you put yourself in the position where you're always having to come back at the end of games, good things aren't always going to happen. Eli Manning isn't some type of magical creature that always succeeds in the clutch. Eventually, you're going to have misses. You know, everyone remembers Reggie Miller. Oh, he makes big shots at the end of games. Oh, he wins games with his three-pointers. That's great. Everyone forgets about all the times when he didn't make the shot at the end of the game. And why do you think the Pacers only made it to the NBA Finals once? Because Reggie Miller does not make every shot. He missed a ton.
Well, Rick Smits also had his shortcomings too. You know, let's not throw it all on Reggie Miller.
But that's my point, though. If you want to keep having to make these dramatic fourth quarter comes back, things bad things are going to happen. It's not always going to go right. That's not how this league works. Do you know why the Patriots are in the playoffs consistently every year? They win a bunch of games by two scores.
It's a good point.
They're not winning games by the skin of their teeth every single week.
You can't keep playing catch-up. Also, you exhaust so much energy playing catch-up. You're not going to be crisp in the fourth quarter. More examples that you could throw out from that 2011 season. You were listing some others. Akeem Nicks beats Peterson in the Arizona Cardinals game. Jake Ballard against the Patriots.
Cruz beats the double team against Philly earlier in the year.
Multiple plays. I mean, think about how many clutch plays, not Manning made, but his talent around him.
Yeah.
Then compare it to these first six games. It's like night and day.
Not to mention turnovers forced by the defense. And that even goes back to last year. That's how they started off to their fast start. The defense got a ton of turnovers. Takeaways. Have you seen any of that this year? Nothing.
Two straight games without a takeaway. They haven't done that since Atlanta and Baltimore last December. And what happened? Lopsided losses.
201-939-4513. Victor is down in Texas. I haven't heard from Victor all week. What's going on, bud?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
How you doing, Victor?
Doing well, Victor. What you got?
Yeah, outstanding. Yeah, it's definitely good to hear, you know, you guys bring that stuff about Eli. But just listen to this, guys. Since 2000, the Giants have only won over, had a 10-win season six times, right? And Tom Coughlin, you always know that, I mean, these guys have breakdowns, say, around mid-season. So,
right.
You know. We're used to seeing Eli and, you know, the team put through these little things. But now, you know, everybody's waiting on it, and it's not happening. It's frustrating for fans because we've become accustomed to late heroics. You know, the Giants will do it. They'll get it up there. But, frankly, the team isn't that great, and the line has to gel like it used to. If you look back at the teams that did come back, you know, had those Super Bowl runs, we had a better offensive line, and we had some youth mixed in there. So that right now is lacking, and a couple things before I go. I mean, Andre Brown, I'm glad he's coming off injured. He's able to end up practice and we'll get up to eight because he actually came along and I was looking at how he matured his offense. I'm looking for the Giants. No, I'm looking for Peyton Hillis to have a big game. I think this guy is just coming to run hard. I'm looking at an offense line. I think we're going to be a bend, don't break offensive line. You guys get pressured and stuff like that. I think we're going to hold up. But most importantly, defense needs to show up in this game. We need to have a dominant defense. Right now, they have one of our overall players. They have Justin Toe on the team. I don't know if anybody knows that right now. We have Justin Toe, and I don't know how it goes. You know, he's going to talk about what we do.
Hey, Victor. Victor, your phone line is deteriorating. I can barely understand what you're saying. If you want to give us a call back, give us a call back. But I got to let you go because we honestly, I heard Justin Tretola there.
I heard that too.
But I didn't hear much else after you got past the offense. So give us a call back if you have a chance, and we'll certainly put you right back up. Otherwise, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Those long-distance phone lines, and he's calling from a long distance away. Trust me. They can be a little dicey sometimes. But feel free to call back, Victor, if you can. A couple things that he touched on. I agree with him. To me, this game in a lot of ways is on the defense. And I know people, oh, the Vikings quarterback issues. They've actually scored 30 points in four of their games this year. So this offense has been able to put up points. And it hasn't been all Adrian Peterson either. Because if you take a look at his numbers, overall they're good. But if you take away his three longest runs this year, he's actually averaging under 3.5 yards per carry. So he hasn't been running it as consistently as you would think. And Josh Freeman has been there, what, 10 days? About 2 weeks once we get to game day. There's no way he could have that whole offense ingested and understood in 2 weeks. It's just not possible. So he's going to be very limited in what he can do. Now he has some weapons. Simpson's a good wide receiver. We know all about Greg Jennings, obviously. Kyle Rudolph's a good tight end. But I would like to see this defense really shut down Minnesota, get a couple takeaways, and maybe give the offense a chance to get a lead early in this game.
Now, Freeman's been prone to making mistakes and turnovers dating back to his days at Tampa Bay. And like you said, you know, he hasn't really had a grasp of this offense. This could play right into the hands of the Giants. But then again, you know, they've had some favorable matchups before, John. And we've been saying week in and week out, you know, how about getting back to that Stevie Brown mentality, being in the right place at the right time, getting a deflection, capitalizing off of that.
Is that a mentality, though, or is it good fortune?
I think it's a combination of both. Probably more so good fortune.
That's fair. No,
but,
I think
but
you're right.
You do need to have that mentality. You need to have that killer instinct.
Well, and also be smart enough to be in the right place.
Correct. You need to win your individual battles. I just don't see that happen across the board. And here's the other thing that's so troubling and perplexing about this team. With so many injuries, other guys have had opportunities that you probably wouldn't have had if you're on another team with a depth chart that has three or four guys at each spot. Corey Webster's been down. Jayron Hosley's been down. There's been opportunities for guys to step right and make a statement, give the coaches a reason to continue to play you, or maybe even shuffle the depth chart around. Nobody, to me, has really taken advantage outside of a guy that literally just walked in the door by the name of John Beeson. Who else has really taken advantage? Tremaine McBride's made some plays, but he's also had some missed opportunities. That would be one guy that has been able to slide in due to the injury.
No one really has come out of the woodwork and laid claim to a job. I don't disagree. Victor's back in the line. I want to go right back to him. Victor, hopefully your phone line sound a little bit better, man. Go ahead on the Giants defense.
Yeah, I'll be real quick.
Yeah,
guys.
You sound a lot better now.
Crystal clear now.
Yeah. Yeah, you brought up a great point, man. John Beeson, I tell you what, I got to give him his props because I thought the guy was going to come in and not be that good. When a guy comes in and he's leading the defense and tackling in his first game, it's ridiculous. It's crazy. But real quick, the defense, you know, I'm looking for us, just like you said, Lance. I mean, a guy coming in, he's been there 10 days. We got to be able to put pressure on this guy. He's not adjusted to that offense yet to make those snap decisions, know those hot reads. So if we get in his head a little bit, get some pressure up the gut. Because Josh Freeman, let's face it, he's like Peyton Manning, but he's not going to move out of the pocket. He's not a passer like him, but he's a statue in that backfield. And we need to just hone in on AP because they're going to give a heavy dose of Adrian Peterson in this game. They're going to try to run it down our throat, and then they're going to try to give Josh those, you know, short intermediate passes. Because they're not going to beat us deep like that. I don't see it. I don't see it happening. And offensively, I just think that we need to control. We need to have a time management on our plays. I mean, Eli needs to get in there. He needs to get the playoff. I don't want to see any last second calls at the line. We got to be focused. I think we just need to control the game slowly and just wear them down. Just keep wearing them down, and then just use our offense. I want to see Hakeem Nicks. I got to see Hakeem Nicks have a big game. And I think Reuben Randall again, and this is the last thing, I think Reuben Randall again, he's going to be intricate in this offense, but he has to keep his mind right because he can't make silly decisions like, you know, slam the ball when he's not even been touched or run the wrong route. I mean, he's got to be able to set Eli up for success. So that's the way I see it.
Thanks, Victor.
You got it, Victor. Thanks so much for weighing in. Greatly appreciate it. Glad that we worked out the technological issues in terms of the phone lines. But Victor's right in terms of limiting the opportunities for Adrian Peterson. The positive is Giants have been very good against the run. That was a big issue last season. But you look at what they've done against Jamal Charles, LeSean McCoy, last few running backs, they've really done damage control on the ground. The problem is a lot of these running backs have had success in the passing game. Adrian Peterson, though, is not the type of guy that they utilize in the passing game in terms of screen plays. If they can limit him, stop him from setting the tone, then all of a sudden you're putting the game in Josh Freeman's hands and you're forcing him to make plays. And if Minnesota becomes one-dimensional, that to me is a big, huge advantage for the Giants. But sometimes that's been easier said than done for the Giants. The key is lock in on Adrian Peterson, prevent him from getting that explosiveness, getting those big runs, because if he gets that, then that means that Josh Freeman can get comfortable. And the last thing you want to do is give a quarterback who literally just walked through the doors and is still digesting the offense an opportunity to really get into the flow of the game. That would not play into the hands of the Giants.
No, I agree 100%, and there's absolutely no question about it. Get to him early. Make him think. And he's still figuring out this offense. If he can't play in a rhythm and can't play instinctually, he will struggle. So that's something you can certainly take a look at. 201-939-4513. Lance, I'll let you take care of this one.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so honored to introduce this next caller. I'm just happy she's actually using her real name.
Yes.
And let me just bring this up as a side note. We're going to put you on the air regardless. We don't discriminate here.
No, of course not.
So if you disagree with us, that's fine. We'll still welcome you to the program. And that sets up perfectly to Ann from D.C. Ann, what's happening?
Ann, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning. And I'm not going to be on here long because I am on a cell phone.
Okay.
Now, my husband and I watched the whole game last night with Seattle and the Cardinals.
Okay.
I didn't watch the whole game. But those two teams were very, very physical, and they have a lot of energy. And my husband told me that Pete Carroll is 63 or something. I'm not sure. But he doesn't look like he is. I said, oh, that guy looks like he has a virility. Are you kidding me?
That's fair.
He looks
okay.
And stronger. He pumps that team up. And I said, you got to be kidding me. And then after that, I heard on the LeVar Arrington show, this was last year when the Redskins played the Giants, they said the key to beating the Giants, cut up the lines, block the passing lanes. That's what Mike Shanahan said. He said, you can beat the Giants.
Okay.
So everyone knows the recipe for beating the Giants. They use three receivers, okay? That's two. Okay, that's 2 points I made. Because, you know, I feel that staff, the coaching staff, is washed up. LeVar Arrington says players take on the character of their coach. Okay, well, if you're like 70, like I keep telling you about Tom Coughlin, because I saw him in that game, he blew two timeouts fighting for an 11-yard penalty, then blew something else. You got to be manned up. I looked at Mike Tomlin, I said, there's no way Pittsburgh is not going on 16. That coach they have, he is manned up, built in the chest, just looks great. Okay, Giants have too many old silverhead 70-year-olds, and that's what you see. Because hey, in the beginning of the year, everyone started out with 90 men or whatever it was, and the head coach decided to select those players. And to me, please don't bring that coaching staff, and you're going to speak the corporate line, because you know I feel that coaching staff is outdated. What they did back then, the league has gotten better, and it's about Eli Manning moving, going into the gym, moving around in that pocket, bootlegging the play, overriding Gilbride, because Gilbride's stuff is from the 1970s, and he is finished. Nobody's going to give him a job. He's too old. He's not going to get a head coaching job. Curry Fields stinks too, like my sister said. Every receiver is single cover. Should be some double coverage on those guys. So that coaching staff needs to be fired. There needs to be wholesale changes made, and they need to bring in a manned up, virile coach.
Well, Ann, let me ask you this,
look
Ann.
Look at those old men on the side.
Ann,
looking at all those old white men on the side. And yes, I think Peyton Hill is coming in. But let me just say this much. I think Peyton Hill is coming in. It brings in a different mentality because he was coached on by other coaches from other teams. And so, because that running backs coach that the Giants had, what has he ever done in the league? He looks terrible. He's not teaching anything. pull your coach back.
And you said that the team takes on the identity of a head coach.
That's
so that so that if a coach – wait, hold on. Let me finish, Ann. So that if a coach shows a lot of energy, then that means the team is going to do that, and obviously that's going to be the recipe for success.
Hey, that man, I saw that guy yesterday, and he looked pretty good to me, Pete Carroll. I didn't believe he was that old.
So what about Rex Ryan? Rex Ryan shows a lot of energy. What have the Jets done lately?
Rex Ryan is manned up.
But what have the Jets done? What have the Jets done on the football field as a result of that?
The Jets may do it this year for rookie. They may they won more games than the Giants. Look, you're a corporate guy. They pay you to sit on the Giants. But John Mara needs to get rid of that coaching staff. And I don't care if they're tied to Eli Manning. If he's supposed to be as intelligent as they say they are, he is, he can pick up. He should be able to pick up the system from a new coordinator coming in. Coughlin is washed up, and that staff needs to go. And you know how I feel about it. And you know what? Fans feel that way, too. The guy is too old. His days are over. It's called the game has passed you by.
All right, Ann. Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate you weighing in, as usual, and being hard on Tom Coughlin and Kevin Gilbride. I'm just happy that you didn't bring up Ryan Leaf in the conversation this time. I'm sort of relieved that she didn't make some reference, because anytime she brings up her husband, I think it's going to go down the road of Ryan Leaf, and Kevin Gilbride ruined his career, and he's ruining just about
everybody.
Yes,
the thing about it, Lance, is that off the top, she was going to talk about being more physical. And I'm like, all right, maybe Ann's got something here. I thought she was going in the right direction. I really did. Because if that's one of your big arguments here, the Giants aren't a physical enough football team, I will buy that. I really will. I will certainly buy that. But, look, this whole young and energy with the coach thing, you know, you can be as young and energetic as you want. If, you know, you can't reach the players and your players aren't any good, it's really not going to make much of a difference. 201-939-4513. And thank you for the phone call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland next. Len, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, bud?
Doing well, Len.
Hey. Well, listen, 3 days to game day, or I should say game night. So I don't quite have my game face on yet, but just here's a couple of things for you this morning.
Okay.
I'll do anything for a win. I'm even changing my good luck charm for the week. I have a brand new Bruno Mars wristband.
Wow.
And I'm going to give, you know, just to tie this to the Super Bowl.
Mr. Pop Culture. Wow. I'm impressed, Len.
Bruno Mars.
I'm going to wear that on Monday night and wear it for the rest of the season if we can get a few wins out of it.
Now, Len, the only good thing me and Lance have to say about Bruno Mars is that he is born and raised in Brooklyn. So we like that. I know Lance is a big fan of the music. Me, not so much.
I like my variety of music.
Well,
I'm not going to deny that.
I'm going to give this a shot, guys, in order to bring the Giants some good luck.
Go ahead.
Read an article this morning, very interesting article. I don't want to spend much time on it. Bill Parcells visiting Ray Perkins down in Mississippi. Perkins hired Parcells, his first pro job back in 1979. And I just want to say this about Ray Perkins. Not enough people give Ray Perkins credit for turning this franchise around. In 1979, it was a new culture with steely-eyed Ray Perkins on the sidelines, a toughness that we didn't have for a long time. And kudos to Ray Perkins, and he's alive and well and living in Mississippi. I'm going to go see a high school football game for a variety of reasons, another high school football game this season. And, you know, I just want to tell you, I'm amazed what some of these young coaches do. I'm not suggesting that this is the way the Giants should go, but you know, you get inside the 5-yard line, the offensive tackle plays running back. They go 4 wide inside the 5. They go shotgun. They're running routes all over the place. The heck with 3 tight ends. These young guys in their late 20s and their early 30s coaching today, boy, they're taking X's and O's to different directions. Maybe we just really, I guess I'm going to tie this to the current Giants. You know, let me just start on defense. We got to stop Adrian Peterson tonight. That's the key, and I think we can do it. And we'll have Gruden talking about our run defense tonight, on Monday night. And you know, I like that. Let's shut down Peterson. We got a really good chance to win this game. Kyle Rudolph is a wide receiver, new breed. He's a new breed of the new breed of tight ends. All we need to do, I know John is going to love this, go back to the Pro Bowl this last year. Eli Manning got him the most valuable player award by throwing passes to Kyle Rudolph. The guy was all over the field. You know, he plays wide. He doesn't even play near the line of scrimmage. He's like a wide receiver. That's the new breed of tight end. I think we got to watch Rudolph. on defense, guys, just a little strategy here. A lot of people have alluded to this. The short passing zones that we're using on defense, geez, it's just not getting it. Well, we got to tighten that up. It's just not getting the job done. And look, defensive ends, defensive linemen, if you're not going to get to the quarterback, if you're stymied, please put your hands up. Please put your hands up and block a pass. It just seems like there's so many passes that look like they're 7 feet off the ground, zipping over the middle for 8 and 10 yard gains. I guess I said I didn't have my game face on yet, guys, but that's where I am this morning. Thanks for taking my call, and I'm looking forward to the game on Monday and looking forward to that first win. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Len. Appreciate it as always, my friend. Going the Bruno Mars route. That is, you know what that is? That's being desperate. Len's feeling
it's
a little desperate
deep.
Here at 0-6.
Speaking of Bruno Mars, Dan Salamone, one of our top writers here on Giants.com, weighing in on Twitter saying that Len and his father are the two biggest Bruno Mars fans in the world.
Dan's
so
dad?
Len has some company.
Really?
Yes, indeed.
Interesting. I didn't see that coming. Young man from beautiful Minnesota up there. Big Bruno Mars guy. I'm surprised.
Bruno Mars is making his presence felt across the nation.
201-939-4513. Big Ed is in Maryland. Big Ed, what's going on?
What's up, guys? I got Big John and Big Lance.
What's going on, Big Ed?
Morning. What's up, man? How you doing?
We're doing all right, Big Ed.
Yeah. Well, look, I didn't – well, going off of my compadre that just got the phone before me, I'm going to have to go back to my old thing that I had done once, and I haven't done it in a while.
What's that?
I have to go back to my Run DMC t-shirt underneath my jersey.
All right.
I got to go back to that. I haven't done it. So I have to go back to that because we need this win. But looking at what we got, I think we can win it. I feel like we should, especially on defense, especially because this guy, he just got on their system. There's no way. He hasn't been here a full 2 weeks. There's no way he knows everything and is going to be ready to play us. So he have a chance. But we got to do a lot of run blitzing because of AP. We cannot let him get past 5 yards past that line of scrimmage. Have to be a lot of run blitz. What do y'all think of that?
Well, I think that they certainly, it can't hurt them in terms of getting this blitz going because right now they can use a way to get to the quarterback and to clearly stop the run. But, you know, Big Ed, you have to understand, they've been effective against the run. I wouldn't think that that's the biggest glaring issue heading into this game. The matter is, can they get to Josh Freeman as consistently as they've been stopping the running back? So if it takes a running blitz, more power to the Giants to throw that in. They've got to get creative at this point because they got nothing to lose. If it hasn't worked over the first 6 games, you can't keep repeating the same thing. You've got to dig deeper. You've got to dig harder, and hopefully you'll yield better results. But right now, they've got to get to the quarterback somehow, whether it be at the line of scrimmage tipping balls or whether it be hitting him and throwing him on his backside. Something's eventually got to work. There's too much talent on this team for them to continue to underperform like this.
So let me ask the question then, Big Lance. Why is it not working? How come we're not getting to the quarterback? I mean, I'm looking at the same 6 games you saw, and we're not even getting to the quarterback at all. What's going on?
I understand
the injuries and everything. That's one thing. But it just seems like we should be getting to the quarterback so much.
Yeah, Ed, I was disappointed, too.
We left off of that. We went to sleep off of that. We had pleasant dreams off of that.
You know, because, Ed, yesterday.
Quarterback out of the game. Yeah,
Ed, yesterday I was very disappointed because Justin Tuck was kind of asked this question, and he answered it. And quite frankly, he made a lot of what I think a lot of people would probably consider excuses about why the Giants aren't getting to the quarterback. And he mentioned max protection. He mentioned three-step drops and how they simply haven't had the opportunity. Well, you know, if it was just me not getting there, but it's everybody not getting there, doesn't that tell you that maybe teams are scheming so that you can't get to the quarterback? And look, and I know this is what Justin was trying to do, but if that's actually the case, and I disagree with him, I don't think that is actually the case. If they're only running three-step drops, what the hell is your secondary doing? Because if opposing offenses are max protecting and running three-step drops every time, why can't you cover anybody? So there's got to be somewhere in the middle with what's actually happening here to figure out why they can't do it. But quite frankly, these guys, as Lance said at the beginning of the show, guys have got to make plays. They got to win their individual matchup, and they're just not doing it right now.
That's what I was talking about. Remember I was saying about a couple weeks ago about playing bump and run. If they're going to play three-step drop, we got to play bump and run. there's no way we can do anything different. I mean, we got to do it. Hit or miss. I mean, as long as we got safety coverage over the top, that covers that. It should cover it.
Right.
The only thing that we'll have a problem is we're going to have some – all I know is this. The way I used to play defense, because I used to play football, so the way I used to play defense was simple. Nobody ever – whenever somebody came out, somebody was always on them. No matter what coverage you're in, somebody is always on a offender or offense player coming out. Somebody's always on them. You never leave them by themselves, no matter where they go. And always having that keen mind, see, that's why we miss Stevie Brown. Steve didn't miss none of this. Steve was so on point with all of it, and he just caught on, and it just went. And it was beautiful. It was like having a personal Ed Reed. It was unbelievable. What a great year he had. I just can't wait for him to come back. I wish he was here this year. That would have just solidified all of this, because for somebody who really gets it and then help everybody else get it, makes it work, and it makes it go. See, it's like all of this whole team thing, we got to get it all back together as a whole team and put a complete game together. No turnovers, very little penalties. Once they do that, they win the game. And they stay doing it, they win every game for the rest of the season.
And
because it'd be tough to beat.
And to add to the list, what you just touched on, also getting a turnover thanks to your defense, something that has not been evident the last couple of games. You mentioned Stevie Brown. Nobody's been able to fill that void, that opportunistic playmaker. Somebody in the secondary, whether it be a corner or a safety, and Big Ed, really appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. Somebody to come in and provide a game-changing play, even something on special teams. Last season, Will Hill made plays on special teams. Stevie Brown made plays on special teams. They haven't even had that to help change the course of the contest and give them favorable field position. They haven't gotten any boost to me from the defense or special teams to aid the offense in any capacity.
The defense tried to help out in that Chiefs game. They forced three turnovers, but the offense couldn't turn them into anything. But other than that, you're looking at five games and four takeaways. It's not getting the job done. And the special teams have allowed two return touchdowns.
It's got to come from somewhere.
Someone's got to make a play, and you got to hope somebody's going to make a play in primetime on Monday night. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Andrew in Starhope. Stanhope. Wow, that's some bad writing there, Ashwin, I got to tell you. What's going on, Andrew? How are you?
Good. The personality of the coach, like the lady said, that would be a good thing because Coughlin's known for his discipline and his work ethic, and he has two Super Bowls as a head coach, four, including when he was assistant with the Giants. He has four championship games as a head coach and six championship games total. He has a championship at Boston College, I believe, so that would be a good thing if they take on his persona. And Perry Fuel, he has a Super Bowl plus at Pittsburgh. He was either an assistant or a defensive coordinator and won a Super Bowl, I think, when he was with Pittsburgh and Dick LeBeau.
Right.
And Perry Fuel revolutionized the three safety package, which helps neutralize tight ends and running backs. And so I just wanted to touch on that. And Gerald Ingram, I think his name is Ingram. I forget his first name, but
Gerald,
the running back. Yep, the running back coach and Coughlin, they took an older running back at the end of his career, Tiki Barber. They taught him how not to fumble, which is really impressive because when you hold the ball in that style, high and tight, you would think, okay, he's going to lose a lot of his speed, but somehow he was able to run with the ball that way and not lose any speed, and he actually had his best career, his best years under Coughlin and Ingram. So I just wanted to, debunk those myths, and the other caller mentioned the linebacker. I love Beeson. He actually was the backup to the guy who came off the couch, Chase Blackburn. And I wanted to ask you, they also signed a fullback. And now they actually have two fullbacks on the roster. And, they didn't even have one going into the start of the season. And what is the deal with Beeson's microfracture? Is it they were down on him because I know Kenny, the safety that we had That I think he's on the Eagles now.
Kenny Phillips. Kenny Phillips. No, the Eagles actually cut him. He's no longer on that team.
And I don't think anybody's picked him up either. I believe he is right now out of football.
So is that the same type of injury? And were they worried, the Panthers, about that injury, and they didn't really trust that he would be healthy? Was that the situation? Because he looks awesome.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, he had a microfracture. He also had an Achilles injury. So there are multiple things that he had problems with, for one. Number two, they also had Luke Kuechly, who plays his natural position of middle linebacker, and he's a better player than Beeson is, even when Beeson is healthy. So they tried to move Beeson to the strong side, where he had trouble acclimating. He wasn't quite the same player. And the Panthers thought that they had a little excess at linebacker, so they would figure to move him. And you just hope Beeson physically can hold up now over the course of an entire season. Remember, before this year, I don't have it in front of me, but I believe he played 6 games in about 3 seasons. So he doesn't have a whole lot of experience the last 3 years. You hope his body can hold up and take the pounding over the course of the season. As for medically, I know both guys had a type of microfracture surgery, Beeson and Phillips, but there are a lot of different variables involved in that sort of procedure, so I can't really speak to it. But look, the Giants hope he stays healthy enough to help this team win some football games.
And the fullback, why do they have two? I'm glad they have fullbacks, but why do they have two? The other guy's a fullback, too.
Who's that?
Hennis, something like that.
Peyton Hillis you're talking about?
Yes.
Well, Peyton Hillis has some fullback experience, but he's a running back. By trade, he's a running back. Andrew, he's always been utilized as a running back. If you go back to Denver, Cleveland, he was a guy that would get, 20, 25 carries. He wasn't a fullback that would get maybe 5 carries a game.
Okay, I just saw a quick clip of him, and he looked like a big fullback.
He is big in terms of his physical presence. He's that bulldozer type of mentality.
And also, if you mention it to Brandon Jacobs, I love when he punishes defenders, but when he's in the open field, which is a great thing to see, our running backs in the open field, but when he's in the open field, he should fake contact and try to juke, pretend he's going to initiate contact, lower his shoulders, and then try to make a move instead of always initiating contact. But I'll leave you with this. The under Dan Reeves, 1 year the Giants lost 7 in a row. They won 3 to start the season. They lost 7, then they won 6. So my prediction is, this is the start of the 6 in a row that we're going to win. Yeah, starting Monday night. Thanks, guys.
All right, Andrew.
All right, Andrew, appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot. 201-939-4513. Wrapping up the calls on today's show is Jamal in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Jamal, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Long time no speak, Jamal. What's up?
All right, real quick, and I like what the last caller ended it, and that's where I want to go. We can start our six game win streak right here. We have 2 games right here. First game is with Minnesota on Monday night. I think if we can stop Rudolph, like one of the callers said, I think he's going to be a big factor. And then, of course, AP. If we can contain those two, I think we could probably make, Freeman's experience with the Minnesota Vikings first game, uncomfortable for him.
Hey, look, this way, too. 4 out of the next 5 games at home. So that should certainly be helpful as well.
I mean, my whole idea is if we can at least get 4-6, 5-6, get back in the thick of things, maybe not playoff contention, but at least get back into a place where we can start playing some good, consistent football, we might be all right. I do want to talk about what's up with Jaquan Williams. I mean, I know he was a big factor for us in the past when he was covering receiver tight ends. What's the deal with him now? He doesn't seem like to be much of a presence in that area right now.
I think you're looking for a big step forward from Jaquan Williams this year in terms of his linebacker play. And quite frankly, I don't think the Giants have seen enough of a jump from him. And that's why John Beeson basically replaced him in nickel packages last week.
Okay. And another thing, too, I think we're getting healthy at the right time. It seems like we're getting guys back. Will Hill, We seem like we're getting acclimated with guys coming off the little injury, the nicks and nags, and this bye week coming up the next 2 weeks. I think that's going to be very effective. I think we get, Andre Brown back week 10?
Correct. He's eligible to return against Oakland.
Yeah, so, I mean, we get him back. I mean, things can roll. I mean, we can start doing things. And to talk about some of the things the callers were talking about this week with the communication aspect with Eli and the receivers, other than minimizing it or making it less complicated, what other ways can you help on that? I mean, I don't understand how the issue is, why the receivers are not on the same page as Eli when they've been working with him since day one.
Well, I mean, look, I think Cruz and Nick's Jamal, and thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. I think they, for the most part, have been on the same page with Eli. He's had some miscommunication with Ruben Randle. And quite frankly, I think Eli just has to take the foot off of the pedal a little bit. I think he needs to be more than willing to take – he has to be more willing to take a sack, which is not the worst thing in the world sometimes. He has to be more willing to take a little check down or a little eight-yard route to a tight end or a running back. And until they get into that rhythm where it's really flowing – a lot of times when things aren't going well, you try to force things to get them to start going well. And that can be the worst thing you can do sometimes because it can backfire if guys aren't on the same page. And we've had that so far. And I think they almost need to take a step back and really think about what the best way is to get this thing going before you start trying to make those home run plays again.
It's as simple as that. You know, the bottom line is I think Eli Manning's decision-making at times, he's trying to go for the home run when sometimes it's best to lay down the bunt single or maybe even strike out, if that analogy works, meaning take the sack. This way, you at least salvage the drive. By throwing an interception, you're not salvaging the drive. You're handing a gift over to the opponent. And that's what I think he has to learn, and he's addressed that somewhat over the last few weeks, and you assume that that decision-making will improve in terms of being on the same page as the wide receivers. Keep in mind, Akiem Nicks missed some time during OTAs. Victor Cruz had the contract issue. Victor Cruz has picked up where he left off, so I don't think he's had the communications with Eli Manning. But when you miss some time with Akiem Nicks, you need the first couple of regular season games to serve as a preseason. So that could have also been a contributing factor as to why we haven't seen those two click automatically right out of the gates.
I feel like this is a weird Friday show. You know, we have a Monday before we get to the Monday night game.
We have another opportunity to preview all over again.
I know. It just feels like a weird Friday show to me.
Well, it's also been such a long period of time since they played last.
Yeah.
Because of that Thursday followed by this Monday game. Normally you play on a Thursday, you're back in it for a Sunday game. Now you got to wait till that Monday night game.
Boy, Monday's going to be a long day for the two of us, isn't it?
It will be. I haven't decided yet what I'm going to do.
You're thinking about going back
to
the city?
I don't know. I'm debating. It is going to be a long day.
It's going to be a long day.
It will be. Morning show and then hanging around till the game.
And, well, then you get the game doesn't start till 8:30. Monday night's the latest start time. I mean, the game's going to probably go till midnight. And you got a nice two-hour post-game show.
Thanks for
back here on Tuesday morning.
To remind me how much lack of sleep I'm going to have.
That is going to be a long day. Are you working on Sunday?
No, I'm not.
All right, well, how about Saturday?
No.
Oh, there you go.
It's a rare weekend. Rare.
By the way, are we going to meet on Sunday afternoon and watch some football? You blew me off last weekend.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. I've got some, you know, plans to shore up with some housing situations.
How about 1 o'clock Sunday?
I can't. I got to see what the schedule is. I'm not going to go out there and make any promises.
I'm not saying we got to do something big. You know, watch the 1 o'clock games at a local drinking establishment in the city.
A local
somewhere.
Drinking establishment.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't want to promote any drinking and other activities on the airwaves.
Well, some responsible drinking is never bad while you're watching
there's
a football
a possibility.
Game.
There's a possibility. I'll leave it at that.
Coors Light, a proud sponsor of the Giants.
There we go.
So is Bud.
Right. True. Hey, we spread the wealth here.
Exactly.
We give love to just about every bet.
So, I mean, you know, you but, you know, I think we should, you know, I think we should go check out a game. I think it'll be fun.
It's amazing. I said that I'll make it up to you over the course of the season, and already you're jumping the gun
next week.
The next weekend.
Next week. Well, how often do we not have a game on a Sunday?
That's true.
We
it's
can
very
actually
rare.
Watch games.
I believe the rest of the way they don't play on any other day other
no,
than
so
Sunday.
No, this is your last.
Right, this is it.
This is your last chance
opportunity
to make it
so
up
we're,
to me.
We've got Sundays tied up till
so
the end of the regular
season. So I think
season.
You pretty much have to. We have to. I'm not saying the whole day. I'm not saying 1 to 7. Just give me 1 to 4. That's all I'm asking.
We'll see. Based on the schedule,
wow.
We'll see.
You,
I can't make
big,
any definitive promise. Well,
Lance Beddoe is
I'm not
big
time. Yeah, I'm just saying there's other things that need to be taken care of outside of football, outside of sports. Assuming those line up, we'll try to make some time.
I'm done with you talking to Coach. Full disclosure, Lance is getting a new apartment.
Full disclosure.
So he needs to buy some furniture. And last week,
correct.
He did some furniture shopping, and from what I could tell, it did not go too well.
No. I wouldn't. Now you're really assuming things. It's a process. You have to evaluate, see what's out there,
boy.
And then determine what fits from a logistical standpoint. Come on.
What
you never
standpoint,
purchased furniture before?
I moved into a new apartment
well, there you
the
go.
Last year. I know exactly what it
so
takes. There aren't many logistics involved. You like something, you buy it, they deliver it, you put it in the apartment.
Well, but I don't like to jump the gun and purchase the first thing I look at.
Oh,
there's a couple of stores.
See, so you're one of these procrastinators.
No, I wouldn't. No, it's being a smart, diligent shopper. That's what it is. And seeing what's out there, to determine what's the best fit and what you can live with for the rest of your life. When you buy furniture, you're with it for the rest, for a long period of time. You got to live with it. Got to wake up every day, got to look at it. Got to be content with it, okay?
That's fair.
You know, you don't just take the first piece of garbage you look at.
Well, let me ask you this. What's the largest concern right now? Is it style, fitting the motif of the Lansmeadow apartment?
Wow, that's a big word here.
Or is it more that you're being cheap and you're trying to find something in your budget?
Money's not necessarily the main factor.
Oh, okay.
I would say style is one, and also what fits.
Well, because I know we don't pay anything here, so I figured money might have been an issue when you shopping
for furniture.
Thank you.
Yes, yes, clearly, clearly, I'm outside of the MetLife Stadium. And,
cup in hand.
That's right.
Yeah.
The cup is in hand. if you're coming to the Vikings game and you see a guy shaking some coins, you know who it is. I may be in disguise.
Well, he might look like a small child from a long distance away, so you have to get a little closer to make sure.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe he'll
looks
have
can
the,
be deceiving.
Maybe Lance will have the 3 weeks worth of stubble growing in at that point.
3 weeks. I better get a head start on that. I need some luck if I'm going to catch up on that.
All right.
So that does that sound like a reasonable excuse, or am I stretching here? You're not buying any of this, apparently.
Well, you're ready, you know, told me to basically sod off last weekend. And
last weekend was the evaluation period. This is now where the money starts flowing this week, okay? We're going to make it rain this week, if that makes sense. Right? We're going to make it rain with respect to furniture. On Monday, I will have a full report to specific purchases.
I think you can purchase your furniture between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. and then between 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. And we can slip in some football from 1 to 4.
That's possible. I would say that's very possible.
I think you need to work on that over the next 2 days.
A late game is reasonable. Early game, I don't know.
No, we watch the game from 1 to 4. You shop from 10 to 1 and then from 4 to 7. So you slip in.
Well, I don't think I'm going to need 4 to 7. It's going to wrap up by early in the day. I mean, the decisions are going to be made within the next 24 to 48 hours.
Okay.
There's urgency here. I'm not trying to draw this process
Speaking
out.
Of urgency, how about the picks? What do you got here?
Well, you sent me the picks, unlike some other people that are in this tournament. we'll neglect the names. I got to bring up the picks here. Though you were off to a very strong start last night. Arizona-Seattle.
And by the way, I have one of the best upset special records in the league. I think I'm pretty good with them. And I happened to get that game wrong last night. But Carson Palmer has a bad habit of throwing interceptions. And that, once again, bit him in the rear end last night.
So you're down one game.
That's fine.
As well as Nile. And let's see, who else picked Arizona? Dottino picked Arizona as well.
Oh, wow.
I was the only one not to pick Arizona as my upset special.
So let's start here then. What is your upset special?
My upset special is St. Louis over Carolina.
Okay.
Carolina's favored in that contest. And St. Louis has been playing good football. Back-to-back victories.
How about your wild card game? I'm going Chiefs. I just got on that 7-point number. A little cheap, but I do like them. I don't think Houston bounces back. Quarterback issues there.
Well, considering Case Keenum is starting, that's a very favorable. See, you're going to criticize my pick, but I don't think it's a gimme. I'm going with Pats over Jets.
No, that's not a gimme. They're on the road. Whenever you pick a road team, unless we're talking, you know, someone playing the Jaguars, I'll buy that.
So that's my wild card. And Kansas City is playing the Texans, so I think that's a very good matchup for them. Now, I'd be stunned if Houston knocks them off,
so
considering that defense.
Now, I'm waiting for a Kansas City stinker here. I'm waiting for a game where Alex Smith throws his three picks, they fumble a couple times, and everything goes wrong. It's going to happen. It happens to every team. I'm just waiting for it to happen.
Well, if memory serves me correct, their schedule is very favorable coming up. And granted, you can't always go by the schedule. Maybe an Oakland team, for example, could catch them off guard, but they sacked Terrell Pryor 10 times. So I don't think that
right.
second matchup is going to be any different. They've got two matchups with Denver after the bye. And I think Kansas City's probably going to be the first team to knock off Denver this season. They've got the equation to solve Peyton Manning. They did it last season.
Pressure with four guys, good secondary, run the football on offense, keep the ball out of his hands, don't turn it over. Yeah, I'll buy that. I think the Chiefs in Kansas City have a legitimate shot to beat Denver.
And that would be the second matchup. First, they go to Denver. Here's the upcoming Chiefs schedule. Houston at home, home against Cleveland at Buffalo. Then they have the bye. You see anybody knocking them off?
They could be staring at 9-0 going into the bye there. That's pretty good.
And then after the bye, then they have Denver twice in the span of 3 weeks. With San Diego in the middle, and that's not a gimme game either.
Is one of those games Thanksgiving? Does Kansas City play on Thanksgiving this year?
Let's see. No, it's all Sunday games.
What's the night game on Thanksgiving this year? I'm trying to remember.
Good question.
Anybody? Neil, you remember
Let's take a look at the schedule here.
I was looking at it the other day, and I can't remember what game it was. I thought I remembered seeing the Chiefs in there, but I guess not.
take a look. That's what, week 12, I believe, right?
Yeah,
I believe that's
that
the
sounds
Thanksgiving.
About right, yeah.
No, it's not week 12, actually. It's probably
week 11? It's week 11, I think.
No, it's
what
week
is it?
13.
Steelers yeah. and Ravens. Oh, that's okay. Network probably thought they were going to get a premier game, Steelers-Ravens. Not going to turn out to be quite that good.
Well, they're going to get the first taste this weekend with
now,
Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
Now, what are our required games this week, Lance?
The required games, well, we've got the two NFC East games. We've got Dallas and we have Washington. Washington gets Chicago. Dallas gets Philly.
Yeah, and you know what? Dallas-Philly I struggled with. I could easily see Dallas losing this game in Philadelphia. I really could. I just think the Cowboys' offense, even with DeMarco Murray not being there, I think they'll absolutely eat up that Philadelphia Eagles defense. I think they're going to put up a 35 spot on him. I think if you have Romo in fantasy football, start him this week. I think he's going to have a monster game. The Eagles' pass rush doesn't scare me whatsoever. Look, the Cowboys' defense will struggle. I just picked up Nick Foles this week. I'm starting him in one of my fantasy football leagues over guys that have been on my roster all year. I start him over Russell Wilson, who's 3 for 3 touchdowns last night. I'm starting him over Cam Newton, too. I think Nick Foles could have a big game this week against that Cowboys' defense, but I don't think it'll be good enough. I think the Cowboy defense a little bit better than that Philly defense. I like Dallas to win in Philadelphia.
It'll come down to who's going to make the biggest stop, and I agree. I would take the Dallas defense
or
the Philadelphia's defense.
Doesn't make the biggest mistake on offense. Turnovers
that could very well
play
be
a
fact.
Big role.
Or it
game.
Could be who makes a special teams play. Look at what Dwayne Harris yeah. did for them last week.
Good
got
point.
The touchdown, and he also gave them favorable field position. So something like that could be a turning point. That's why I went with Dallas. Washington-Chicago, a very difficult game to get a good handle on. You know, the Bears coming off that Thursday game against the Giants, the Redskins, bad performance against the Cowboys. This game is in Washington. I like the Bears in this contest.
See, I'm going to go Washington, and it's tough, though. I think this is a pick'em game. You put them on a neutral field. The Bears are probably small favorites, but it's in Washington. I think the Redskins did make some strides against the Cowboys last week, looked a little bit better. Here's why I like the Redskins. I think this week is the week the Redskins get back to their ground-and-pound, run-the-football style. Look what Brandon Jacobs and a banged-up Giants offensive line did against that Bears defense last week. You don't think Alfred Morris is licking his chops right now? I think he goes for 175 and 2 or 3 touchdowns, has his best game of the season, and the Redskins win because they control the football and get back to running.
I hope you're right. I got him on multiple fantasy teams. I will take that stat line in a heartbeat. And you're right. RG3 gave a taste of that. I think he's gaining more and more confidence as the season is progressing. However, you're right. Chicago's defense is average if they don't get the turnovers. But then let's look at Washington's defense. What makes you think they're going to be able to stop Jay Cutler? Look, the Giants' defense
That's
couldn't
fair.
Even get them to punt.
That's fair.
I see it as being an offensive clinic. I think it's going to be a back and forth. And Chicago's had a lot of experience with those game-winning drives. Even on the road, I still give the slight edge to Chicago. I think Washington's getting there, but they're not yet there. And the other thing that I've actually liked about the Redskins, which has helped their offense, without Fred Davis in the picture, they haven't had that security blanket. Reed, who is this new tight end that has been a nice bright spot, has also helped them progress with respect to their offensive scheme. So that's been a big bonus. Then we've got the two non-NFC East games, Denver and the Cincinnati game. Cincinnati gets the Lions, both teams 4-2, and then you have the Broncos
Denver
looking to remain unbeaten
Indy.
With Indy.
All right, well, let's do Denver and Indy first, but I think that's probably the bigger game. I actually struggled with this game. I was looking at the games the other day, and I could see the Colts maybe squeaking out a victory here, but quite frankly, the Colts are 4-2, but a lot of their wins have been unimpressive, and they were unimpressive last week. I really dislike it. I just traded Andrew Luck off one of my fantasy football teams, and here's why. I do not like the way they've changed the offense there. I don't think they throw the ball down the field nearly enough. They don't get the running game going as much as they should, even though they have somebody. That's a good but not great running back in Trent Richardson. I just don't like the direction that offense is going. And even though the Broncos have struggled, they're going to put up points on that Colts defense. They just are going to do it. They're that good. So I think the Broncos win this game 31-20, something like that.
Oh, Manning is probably going to be amped up, given that he's going back to Indy. Also, these Jim Irsay comments that have been circulating, which to be honest with you, I think have been completely blown out of proportion.
Some are fair, but you still don't say it, especially the week before you're going to honor the guy in your own building.
It's going to make for an awkward exchange when they finally do honor him prior to the game.
Right.
This is going to be a back-and-forth offensive shootout, regardless of your concerns about Indy's offense. But I would take Denver because I think Denver is going to get the big touchdown when they need it the most. Whereas Indy, you're right, they've struggled a bit. They've used Trent Richardson to a certain degree, but not even enough at this point.
Yeah, he's not going to get a ton of carries. When he does run the ball, he hasn't been that successful, to be quite honest with you.
They were in that game against San Diego on Monday night. They only gave Trent Richardson 10 carries. He was getting about 4 yards a carry.
And the Chargers have struggled against the run this year, too.
I really was perplexed by their game plan. So I take Denver, and then Cincy Detroit, maybe this Bengals team is finally clicking. I've been waiting for this team to come together. Big expectations coming into the season, one of the best defenses in the National Football League. They have more than just A.J. Green. They brought in Giovanni Bernard. I like the Bengals in this contest. You know, the Lions, to me, have also made strides, but I just don't see them making enough defensive stops to slow down this Bengals offense.
Andy Dalton's getting better and better each week. I agree with you. In my opinion, I think the Bengals win this football game. Even though Calvin Johnson's going to play, I don't know how healthy he is. And we saw what that line offense looked like last week when you don't have Calvin Johnson at 100%. So I agree. I'm going Cincinnati Bengals.
So we pretty much agree across the board on this.
Well, the wild card, I already lost my upset. We got to see what happens with the wild card game.
So we just disagree with Chicago, Washington.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the difference maker this week. And you already lost Arizona. So.
And Lance and I will be back with you on Monday morning as we preview Giants Vikings day off. Should be a lot of fun. And of course, pregame show on WFAN comes your way at 7:10. You get Lance, Paul Dottino, Jeff Fiegels, and myself. And then postgame, Lance will be with Bob and Carl for 2 hours. After that game, the Giants trying to get their first one of the year.
And then a quick turnaround back here Tuesday morning.
You got it. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Lance Meadow, John Schmelk, Big Blue Hits, Big Blue Kickoff Live, excuse me. Big Blue Hits comes your way today at 4 o'clock, where Lance and I will talk some Giants football with you. We have too many Big Blue shows. I get them confused. So we'll see you then. Make sure you enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
Have a good one.